I am beyond excited for you to listen to this episode. I am getting like super shaky of how excited I am because there's so much amazingness that's in this episode. I'm actually interviewing one of my top favorite lawyers that I recommend a lot of my students to and a lot of my people to. Her name is Lindsay Levine, and she's with Lindsay Shea Consulting. And in today's episode, we're going to cover so much stuff that I get asked all the time when it comes to the legal side of things, protecting yourself, contracts, all that fun stuff. So we're going to cover things like what to do when you have legal questions and you have contracts that maybe you want to get reviewed, what contracts to really have in your firm. So she's actually going to break down the exact ones that she recommends to protect yourself, your clients, and also the people that contract for you or work with you. Why you should actually have someone reviewing those contracts, whether they're templates, and not really relying on all these programs that include these legal templates that aren't legal firms. And so why it's so important to actually reach out to somebody. There's so much we're going to cover. We're even going to talk about finding a lawyer, what that looks like, and how to really connect with them, and why it's actually okay for when your clients actually question your contracts, and why you should actually allow them to make sure that it's in alignment with you and them. It's such a golden nugget episode. I was totally writing notes myself. So I cannot wait for you to dive in today's episode. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the workflow queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host here, Alyssa Lang, the Workflow Queen. I know I say this at the beginning of every single episode, how excited I am to have just an incredible guest, but I feel like every person is just amazing that we bring onto this podcast. So I am so excited to be introducing Lindsay, who, if you are in one of my programs or a lot of my programs or even just in my community, you've heard me shout out her lovely contracts and templates that she's created that are about engagement letters, things like that, all that fun stuff. And she's a lawyer that I constantly am recommending people to. And I just wanted to bring her on today to just really share a lot of the things I see a lot of you guys asking questions about in this gray area of all this legal stuff, which is not our zone of genius. So without further ado, Lindsay, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, so happy to be here. So my name is Lindsay Levine. Originally, I started doing in-house counsel. So I was in-house counsel for Comcast Spectacor, the Miami Heat, and most recently Meta. During the pandemic, things kind of took a switch. I was focusing on compliance, but I felt like there was this need specifically for small businesses to have protection and not one have to spend a fortune to do it. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to make like the law experience approachable. So approachable and affordable were my main goals.
Yeah.
So I developed Lindsay Shea Consulting that helped with those basic legal needs of small businesses that won't break the bank. So it's everything, you know, from contracts and templates to make it easy for you to set up LLC formations and then trademarks. So keeping it really simple. And so I just wanted to make it, you know, easier for people to get, you know, legal advice and protect themselves so they can move forward with peace of mind.
Yeah. I love it. I just love what you do. And I remember, I think it was someone in one of my groups, one of my programs that recommended you. And that's how we got connected. And then we chatted and I was like, look, people in this industry really need specific stuff to bookkeepers, accountants, like tax preparers. And I was telling you, a lot of the programs that are out there that teach bookkeeping are trying to also give away legal stuff. And it's like, that's not really the smartest thing to kind of go through. And I remember like letting you know this, and then you drafted specific ones to the industry, which so many of my students have absolutely loved and given great feedback. So I appreciate you creating that space for our industry as well.
Yeah. So I have two packages related to that. So it was like one, I worked with a CPA for like the tax you know, package. So it's really specific to CPA language. There's IRS language in there. So really dives down. And then when I spoke to you, you were like, there's a need for like a separate niche to for bookkeeping. And so we created that and I worked with bookkeepers to do that. So yeah, it's been great. I've gotten great feedback and I've like, I really try to make it one as easy as possible, but like under, you know, I'm always open to questions so they can understand what they're doing and why they have these, you know, terms and stuff in those contracts.
Yeah. I love it. I just love the things that you've created. I love shouting you out to everybody. So I'm so happy that you're here today. So I drafted a couple questions that I wanted to cover because we get a lot of these same questions over and over again. I can't tell you how many times I've been like in these Facebook groups or community groups and people are like, hey, does anybody have a contract they can share with me? And I always tell people, or they even bring up legal questions. I'm like, this is definitely a question that you need to talk to either a lawyer or like consult with somebody, like consult with not just somebody in a Facebook group because you really don't know what you're going to get yourself stuck into. So I have no idea because I'm not a lawyer and that's why I lean on someone like you. What do you suggest for people who are asking those legal questions who are maybe a little bit overwhelmed thinking that they're going to get, you know, charged like a $3,000 fee for a 30-minute session? Like, what do you recommend they do when they are stuck asking those legal questions, maybe at the beginning stages or a little bit further into their career?
So I think, you know, they need to like, you know, hone in on exactly what they're doing, what they want and reach out, you know, whether it's to somebody like me or someone along those lines. Cause I do think like, the reason I created my business was because I felt like typical law firms, they're just not affordable and approachable for people who are just starting out. Like they can't spend $500 an hour, which is like, to be honest, like a minimal amount for those law firms.
Yep.
You know, to create these simple agreements. So for me, like that's a really big thing. And going through like getting these templates to create yourself, because what I find too is like you become friends with these people on Facebook groups, which is great. You develop this community, but I see a lot of like swapping of contracts, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, hey, Alyssa, I'm going to give you my contract because it's awesome. I did it. But you also don't know what it looked like maybe before it got switched and changed. And so I cannot even tell you how many times I'll have a client. I'm like, why don't you just like, because I'm more than happy to always like look at something first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I ask why do you have this in there? Like this one term. And they're like, it was just in it. Like, or I Googled something to like get started. And I'm like, you know, that really actually hurts you instead of helps you.
Yeah.
And so it's like stuff like that. So I think it's just, you know, finding like the community to ask people and then going like and getting the information for yourself from like the horse's mouth and not relying on, you know, other people unless they're like a professional, like an attorney in that field. So you understand truly like what matters. And also they should be able to give you, you know, examples of like why you need things in your contract. So let's say like an indemnity clause, right? Making sure if somebody's giving you information, you're relying on that information. And if something were to go wrong, you don't want to be blamed for it, right? But a lot of people don't know the significance of that. So they'll take it out or they'll change things not realizing. So you want to have somebody that's like, I think, one, affordable, but like also I think approachable is like a really big key to it and being able to explain those things to you.
Yeah. I also think I have a lot of respect for, I've worked with lawyers. I've done trademarks through lawyers. I've done my policies and like conditions, like things like that on my website. I've done a lot of different things with one of the lawyers that I work with. And what I really like about her in the same way that I feel like when chatting with you is that you really do take the time to explain what is actually happening and just being like, instead of just saying, no, this is how it needs to be. Instead of saying, like, why do you have this? Like what's going on? And it's no shame. It's not like you're shaming them for having this clause. Yeah. You're being real and honest and saying, if we don't fix this, this can be the repercussions. And I think that hearing that allows people the opportunity to understand, like, I need to finally go call my lawyer and go talk to them and chat about these contracts and stuff. And so I love the fact that you actually take the time to explain it to people.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Like, I don't think, you know, that people should ask questions and shouldn't have to worry about being charged for like by the minute answers, you know, especially with something that's important as this stuff.
Yeah, Absolutely. I love that. So one of my other questions that I had was, what do you recommend for someone, especially in our industry specifically? I know that you aren't necessarily a bookkeeper in our industry, but what would you recommend for everyone to really protect themselves? Because I know from what I understand, we have to have like a contract for when we first start working with somebody. But then what more? Should we be having NDAs? Should we be doing so on and so forth? Like, what's the recommendation of what's the standard of what you think we should do?
So I always say that there's a few things that like you guys should have as you start your businesses and you start building your business. So like, as you mentioned, like if they're a bookkeeper, you get, you know, a bookkeeper agreement to provide for your clients. Like, and that's really important because I think, you know, to go back on that, a lot of people, when they're starting out, it'll be with like a friend or a friend of a friend, and they think nothing will go wrong. And that, unfortunately, it's only a matter of time before something does.
Yes. Because
someone does things. And so with these agreements, like with my templates, it's like plug and play. So there's different addendums. So like if you're doing monthly bookkeeping or you're doing tax prep, it's all included in the main agreement, but you kind of plug and play based on your situation. So like making sure that's all taken care of. And I also like to say like too, when you're writing your contract and you're providing your services and you're explaining your services, whether it's through my templates or something else, it's very important that you're being crystal clear as to what you're offering. So if you're offering a call, how long is that call? Is it a Zoom meeting? Is it one call? Is it two calls? Like getting so clear. If you're doing like monthly bookkeeping, what does that include? Is there any like room for change? Like, you know, if someone wants to review and change and edit, like however, you know, that works, like stuff like that. Because what I find, it's like when you leave things up to the imagination of you and your client, that's where issues happen. So in your mind, it could be totally one thing, but if it's not written down and your client sees it, you're like, well, I thought like this meant like I can call you every week. And you're like, oh no, that's not the case. And so it's like really setting expectations and boundaries. And I think that's really important for business. It's important to start your business because without that, I think it provides, you know, kind of like Wild West situation. And it also like establishes like these boundaries and guidelines for your client. And like that for like, if they have a question, you just pull up the contract and be like, well, actually in this contract, I only provide X, Y, and Z. So
yeah,
just like pose that for that. So that's definitely like the first thing that everyone should look at when they're starting their services is their, you know, the contracts to their clients.
Yeah.
Next. So we'll go into like independent contractors. So let's say you're starting out. So anybody that you hire, whether it's for social media, it's for an assistant, it's for anything that you're doing, unless they're like obviously an employee, you want to have an independent contractor agreement. Yeah. So if, for example, like, you know, let's say you're doing social media and they don't, you know, this person doesn't have their own contract or whatnot, it's important to do this stuff because in essence, what they're producing, it's called like the work product.
Yeah.
Right. And so in copyright law, it's like anything that they produce should be owned by you,
yes,
the bookkeeper. But if you do not have a contract in place, and it, you know, it's important to notice it doesn't work retroactively. So it's like you would have to do a whole different assignment agreement. So it's important to have it in place. So like, let's say they're doing all your social media, you want to own all their images and all like the captions that they're doing. You want to, that's your social media place. Well, that has to be put in the agreement.
Yeah. It's so funny that you bring that up. I'm so sorry. I know you have like other contracts, but this actually recently happened to me. I had someone that started working for me that was doing like content stuff, and they sent me over their contract and their agreement. And it said that they own the copyrights to all the content. And I immediately went back and I said, you know what? Like I went through the whole entire contract. I'm one of those people who actually read the whole contract, unless it's like the quick ones that are like on Apple that are like 50 pages long. It's all bad. But anyways, so I was reviewing it. I was like, hey, I actually am not comfortable signing this because I should be owning the rights to my own stuff. This is my content coming from my own theory and my own stuff. Like, and so they went back and they redrafted it, sent it over, and I was happy to move forward. And
so true. Like, here's the thing too. It's like, I get like sometimes like, you know, people like that, they want to use that content to show how to promote their own business. Right. Well, they can have that ability. Like you can give them that ability to like, hey, you can use this stuff to promote yourself. But in the end, you want to own everything.
Yeah. And it was funny when I brought it back to her, she had come back and said, yeah, I actually just got this from one of the programs. So it's really interesting to me that we're talking about this, where that's a simple example of they got it from a program that they learned how to do what they're doing in their business to send it over to me without actually reviewing it themselves or understanding it. But then they have a business owner like myself who actually does read through these things and is extremely thorough. So, oh my gosh, I love that we covered that piece. Yeah.
There was this case, I think it was like a couple of years ago, but basically they didn't have an agreement. This person did all the social media, created a huge following. They ended up going separate ways in a bad way, I think. And she ended up, there was like a lawsuit based on it because I didn't sign a contract. I own all like the goodwill I put towards it. And she won. She got to keep all like the social media page that she
See, that's like the most terrifying thing. And I can see this as a situation from a bookkeeper's perspective of like, if you hire on a contractor to do work for you, and maybe they created some sort of a spreadsheet that supported the client that you're working with. And then now at that point, they're like, nope, I own the rights. So like, listen up, peeps, if you're bringing on these contractors who you're asking to help build out these processes or build out these SOPs, like, or build out whatever it is to support you and your business and your clients, just be very, very mindful that you need to have these things in place to protect yourself as a business owner.
Yeah. And that's like such a good point that you bring up with like these processes. Cause I've had questions like that from bookkeepers that are like, hey, if I am I owe them the work, does that mean like they own like the process behind it? I'm like, no, like essentially you have to everything that you produce, like if you have like a special process, they don't own that. They own like the work that maybe that like, you know, with bookkeeping, the numbers and stuff, but not the actual, how you do it.
Yeah. This is so educational already. I knew this was going to be a great one. I knew this was going to be great to bring you on. Cause like, I know so many people, I'm telling you left and right. I'm like, I refuse to answer any legal question or give any legal contract. And I got that advice from my lawyer. She said, absolutely not. In selling your programs, do not put yourself out there and put that liability on your plate. So you're saying that for now you were recommending the bookkeeper contract, like for the clients.
Yeah, for the clients. And then you have your independent contractor agreement for anybody that is providing you of a service, whether it's like for an hour a day, it's one project, you want that agreement. So then you have like the NDA. So this also could be depending on like the independent contractor agreement and how it's drafted. Like mine has confidentiality agreement on it. So you don't have to worry about it in that regard. But let's say like you're bringing somebody on and you're hiring another consultant, right? To go look at your business, to get some advice. That's a time that you would want like a third party NDA so that if they see anything, they don't have access to your vendors, they have access to your client list, making sure all that stuff is secure. So that's like another really important one, making sure that again, like if you're hiring employees, they're signing NDAs as well. Yeah. And then the final thing that I like to explain, because we're in a digital world these days, is website policies. Mm-hmm. So the two policies that you'll see on every footer these days is the privacy policy. And either it's like called the terms service or the terms and conditions. So the privacy policy, if you collect any information, so if that's your like an email address, a name, any type of information, it is federal law that you have a privacy policy
on
your website, right? Yeah. So what does that mean? That means that you're basically stating that any information that you collect, you're stating what you're using it for, how you're using it, how you're keeping it secure. And also you're giving them the ability to kind of reach out to you to find out what information that you have on them and how, they want to tell you, I want you to delete that, how they can make that happen. Oh. So it's like it's become like a huge thing everywhere. And so I will say this, what's interesting is that in the United States, California has the strictest privacy laws, right?
Welcome to California.
But what's interesting is like, let's say, you know, I'm in Pennsylvania. If I have somebody like Alyssa Lang comes to my website and she's from California, I have to follow California laws.
Wow.
So it does not matter that you're like, people can be like, oh, I live, you know, in Florida, I live in Texas. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It does if you're in a website, you know, a business that's essentially selling to everyone because it's e-commerce. Well, there you go.
Hey, listener, just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode today to ask you, have you been trying to find a better solution to actually taking payments from your clients? Then boy, do I have a solution for you. One of my absolute favorite pieces of tech is Pluto. Pluto is such a game changer in your business. It really helps you to allow you to be able to take payments easily from your clients through ACH. They also take credit card as well, but they have so many different options. One of the big perks to using something like Pluto over something like QBO and all the other options that we have out there for invoicing is because it is way more cost effective and it has saved me thousands of dollars on those fees that we get taken out for invoicing our clients. So we no longer use QuickBooks Online in order to invoice our own clients. We now have migrated over to Pluto. And if you want to learn more about Pluto and check it out, it is amazing. They make such a seamless process for our clients to be able to add the ACH information, to ask them to authorize us to be able to take the automatic payment every single month, and saves us a ton of money in fees. You're just going to go to workflowqueen.com/Pluto. That's workflowqueen.com/Pluto to learn more. Oh, wow. That's California. I can't even get started about living in California and all the rules that we have to follow out here, but that's crazy. I mean, it just goes to show like the importance. I'm even like absorbing so much information. Like I can only imagine everyone's just like, what? I actually was in a group one time and some girl was like, where do I find policies and the terms and conditions for the website? And some guy literally commented and he was like, oh, I took it off someone's site. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wanted to just like melt because I get my stuff taken all the time. Like I've had to contact my poor lawyer, probably hears from me more than I ever want to talk to her because it's always this person stole my program or stole my templates or they're selling it or they're doing this with it or like going against terms and conditions. And I think that the more that I've been in business and the more that that's happened to myself, I've had to get more educated. And it's a real thing. Like we think that it's such an innocent act, but it's kind of like plagiarism. Like when you're in high school, remember they're like talk a lot about plagiarism and why you can't just like copy paste things. And I think that this industry needs a little bit more education and understanding of how important that is and how it can backfire on you, you know?
For sure. And I think, so I think to your point too, it's like everyone's okay. You know, that everyone like goes on with their merry way until something like that happens to them, but they don't have the tools in place and they can't, then it's like too late to stop it. And so to your point, like, so after like the privacy policy, there's like the terms and conditions. And I will say this, terms and conditions, not a requirement, but there are times where in my mind, it should be a requirement. So that's one, if you're selling anything. So and that's, and to your point, like you don't want anyone coming, taking your template information, but also to that point, like, you know, even if you're not selling anything, you don't want anyone stealing your information that you're putting on your website. Like maybe you have blurbs here and there, you want it like protected. And so you have that out there in your terms and conditions, making sure that everything that you have, even though it's essentially copyrighted already.
Yeah.
That states that like, this is your stuff. You are not, you know, you don't allow anybody else to use it. Another aspect would be, and this is like for bookkeepers, if you have a blog or if you have anything on your website, that's like giving advice. So that's what bookkeepers do. Like their, you know, their website, you know, sometimes they have blogs on like, okay, this is a great way to do X, Y, and Z. So what I would say, you want disclaimers, right? You want to say basically, hey, if you go on my website, great on you. Like this is in no way professional advice towards you. I am not like doing anything, you know, this is education. You take that advice, you do with it as you will, but you can't come back to me and then like sue me because, you know, things went to hell for you because you followed my advice. But people do that and it's crazy.
It's crazy how much people really do take certain things, especially free resources online, like so to the heart. Now, when it comes to disclaimers like that, because that's really interesting, I'm sure there's a lot of people who do, I know from this industry that do have blogs, do have free resources. Would you recommend that someone just put it in like one spot on your website as long as it's one spot there? Or do you recommend it always constantly being put on every piece of content to kind of state that?
So definitely on the footer, depending on like what it is. And if it's like, you know, something that they can click for, they buy or whatnot. I do like, if there's a way to add a little blurb that's just like, this is not professional advice, please seek out a professional, like, you know, this is just purely educational. Yeah. I see no harm in that. And it's probably, you know, better for you if you can just do like a little sentence on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen those at like bottoms of websites. They're like usually small and italicized, and it's just like right there, just, and it kind of protects you at the end of the day. It's like, it's there.
Exactly.
You should know it's there type thing.
And even like, you know, for bookkeepers who sell templates or processes or policies, like, you know, like those templates online with how to do best to do things, like your programs and stuff like that, yeah. You know, workflows, making mm-hmm. sure that even like what I do is like on my templates and the page that they not only like on my website in general, but on the page that they purchase things, yeah. It specifically says like, this is not legal advice, because they're not talking to me. If they're going on my line, like it's different. Like if we engage but if they're just buying a template, you know, that's like, it's from a lawyer, obviously, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's not, I'm not giving specific advice
to their unique state. And that actually was going to follow into one of my other questions, which is, even if someone buys a template, right? Mm-hmm. So even if they sign up for these programs and stuff, I'm assuming, because even like my students, whenever I push them over to you and I say, hey, she's got this built-in template. It's like a bundle. It's got all these things. I also recommend and like talk to her, get on a call, see if they can chat or whatnot, to see if there's something that you guys need to tweak specific to you. Cause every business is different. The way I review pricing might be annually, while some people are quarterly. And so what would you recommend that when someone does buy these things, do you think they should reach out to a lawyer or someone like you to kind of go through it and talk about the specifics?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's no harm in learning more.
Yeah.
And if even that's like you come up and you still keep the template exactly what it is, I guarantee you'll walk out hopefully in a better position of just understanding things like in a different perspective. So I definitely think that's correct. And like, also I will say this, different states have different laws.
Yes.
Right. And it's so like something you do like me, like I've done my best to make it as universal as possible. And usually with contracts, that's pretty much okay for the most part. But yeah, different states have different laws that you can't account for it with these templates.
Yeah. Which is hard. Yeah. I think there's just so much. I just really wish that people really heard. And that's really why I wanted you to be on today, is just really understanding the importance of not copying other people's things, making sure that you're reviewing things. Like if you are, make sure it's coming from a lawyer, an attorney, or however. By the way, question, is a lawyer and an attorney the same thing?
Yes.
It's like when people ask, like, is a CPA and a tax preparer like the same? It's like, they aren't actually technically. So yeah, this is so educational. Now, going back to something a little bit earlier, when you're talking about contracts and having, you know, if you're signing one or you have one to give to someone else, like maybe like a social media manager or something like that. Now, is it best practice for me to also send them a contract on top of then sending me a contract, or do they kind of cancel out?
They would cancel out.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
Yeah. So what's interesting is like, depending on, you know, who you're contracting with, if they have their own agreement, chances are they're going to want you to sign it. But we're in a business of like people, startups, and like doing, you know, a lot of them, as we're talking about, they don't have their own contracts for their own services. So, you know, it's when you get a contract, then like it's understanding, you know, what can you negotiate with, what's best. And then in those cases too, it might be worth, like, it probably is worth either, if you don't understand something in this contract, reaching out to an attorney to understand, like making sure you know exactly what you're getting from this service and making sure that, you know, nothing's missing that could potentially harm you in the end.
Ooh, I like that. I like the idea of like, it's okay if they're sending you the contract, but it's your duty as the business owner to go out of your way to make sure it's correct and reviewing it. Like I said, I'm one of those people who like literally read through contracts like all the time, because I've been sucked into bad situations before, and I've been burned by contractors. Unfortunately, I've also been done greatly by contractors, and it always terrifies me. So it's nice to know, one, that it does actually cancel out. It's always been one of those questions that I've had for myself, and I'm sure other people are thinking the same. And two, the best thing to do is go and ask an attorney or a lawyer. That actually brings me to something that happened recently that I came across a conversation with somebody. They were talking about how they were so frustrated, like they were a bookkeeper. They were so frustrated, and they immediately didn't want to work with a client because they sent them the contract and the client came back and said, I need you to fix this, this, and this. Granted, they just told them to fix it, like versus like, let's have a conversation around it. But they immediately just like put up a wall and they're like, I don't want to work with somebody like that. How can I kind of ease our listeners to understand that that's okay if a company wants to negotiate a contract. So can you bring some perspective on that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely okay. The same reason why we would want to negotiate an agreement, you know, for an independent contractor that we were provided. So I think what you do is like, you have to, this is why it's important that we understand exactly what's in our agreement. And it's not just like you're filling in blanks. You truly understand the concepts behind everything and why things are important. You then have a list of non-negotiables. Like, yeah, I will never change this. Like that's non-negotiable, and that could like be that. Anything. Yeah. And, you know, also making sure that, like, you know, your termination clauses are up to date, because yeah, like stuff like that can get dicey. But I think like, if you have those non-negotiables, and then, you know, and it's going to be different for everyone for the most part. You know, somebody could not care if somebody wants to terminate within 2 weeks. Other people like are like, no, they need to finish out the entire month. Term. Yeah, yeah. Or is it 2 months? Like whatever that may be, you know, I've put in money and like I've developed, you know, set aside time for this person. So each person's potentially going to have a different set of non-negotiables. So the key is to get down to your non-negotiables, and then everything else is kind of like, it's fluff in this sense. I wouldn't say it's fluff, and there's certain legal things that you shouldn't change, but there's certain things that are like, you know what, if I'm going to give this to him, it'll show like goodwill on my end, and I'm trying to work with this person. And so I can give this person what they want here, not going to give it to them here, but at least like that shows like I'm trying to negotiate with them. So I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody trying to come back and negotiate.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, like I've done it before myself, and I know that I have to respect business owners, you know, coming back and saying, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this. They're literally signing away their financials, the most vulnerable aspect. Like I always tell people, the two things that are like the most vulnerable part of yourself is being naked and your finances. It's, and I know it sounds crazy, but it's kind of the truth. Like,
and then like, you have to think about too, like there's also like, I would almost be more comfortable working with somebody that's gone through and is like, I don't know if I feel comfortable with this, versus somebody who probably just signs, has no idea what's in the contract, and then tries to come back at like 6 months later, you're already in it, and tries to like, you know, try to get out of the contract, and they can't because they've signed it already. So, you know, I think everything is different perspective, so to speak.
Yeah. I love the idea of like, no matter where you get these contracts from, whether you have someone personally, like actually draft it for you from scratch, or you've bought a template, or even if you've gotten your templates to everyone listening, like in one of these programs, like it's okay to question it. It's okay to have it reviewed. I think even for myself, like I've been in business, this is almost like 7 years of doing businesses. This is now my third business that I've done. And I think the longer I've done this, I've realized the right people to have in my back pocket, which a lawyer is one of them. And it's something that has constantly always brought me peace of mind, knowing that I can call someone and I can reach out. I've gotten my trademarks done. I've gotten like terms and conditions, contracts, so on and so forth. And I think that that's something that a lot of people get stressed out about, is like, where do I find these lawyers? Like, which lawyer do I find? So what would you recommend? Obviously, like shameless plug for you, come to you, but like ultimately, what would be the advice on that?
I think like, obviously, you know, I think you use these Facebook groups and you use these podcasts. You have your group that you've established as you're starting out. And I do think there is some value of asking for like, hey, who do you guys recommend here and there? And so you get like a sense of like, who are these people going to, you know, and realize, okay, maybe I can't afford this person. Maybe I can't afford this person, but it gives you like a sense. And I guarantee you, like, you can probably go on like, you know, all these Facebook groups, people just start like listing out people if you ask. And then it's up to you to do your due diligence on each person.
Yeah. To actually like review and see what's the best. Yeah. I definitely recommend that all the time. And also, not every person that everyone recommends is going to be one, a good fit for you, like personality wise. Like the reason I think I really draw myself to you is you're just so approachable. Like I know that you were telling everybody here that approachable is one of your big things. You definitely have an approachable vibe. You can tell that you're passionate. We can tell that you are really like invested in people's success and protecting them. And I think that ultimately you might not connect with somebody, and that's okay. I always recommend looking at testimonials, or at least connecting, asking the lawyer. Sometimes I don't know if this is like a conflict of interest, because I'm not a lawyer, Avi, like a conflict of interest, but can I connect with one of your clients that can give me an honest experience, you know? And I think that that's something that I do. I always am trying to do like a double check system, because sometimes testimonials are always going to put on their websites the best testimonial. Do we really think people are going to put the bad?
Yeah, no, it's so true. And to your point, it's like dating. It's like
Yeah.
finding like me finding a good like therapist. Like
Oh
it's
my
like,
gosh, that stresses me out more
oh
than
my
anything. I
God, but
still.
yeah, like I found a great one, but it's like dating. It's like you have to go through a couple that like maybe you fit, maybe you don't,
Yeah.
maybe you like them in the beginning, not so much. And it's the same thing with like finding an attorney. Like
Yeah.
it all, you know, you have to go with what works for you.
Yeah. And someone who kind of understands like what it is that you're going through and understands the lingo or understands like your perspective, which is really great. I worked with a legal team to help me with my partnership last year when I started my partnership. And I ended up changing lawyers because it didn't work out. They were very old school and did not want to answer any questions. And it felt like I was getting backed into a corner of signing a contract. And I didn't like the way I felt. And so obviously we were already like pretty much done with the whole process, but I was like, I could never work with them again. I'm sure they work for other people, but for me, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, I agree. I think like that to me, the old school way of like law, like lawyering, so to speak, with the, you know, the rigidness and you know, you write them an email, they charge you 0.25 of an hour because, you know, it just, I think we're moving past that in my mind. At least I think like the group of people that are starting their businesses want something different. And so I think, you know, unless you're like a really big corporation, like you can find people that match your personality
Yeah, absolutely.
in a
Well,
big
this
corporation.
is all so amazing. I think you're gonna love all of my audience. I know a lot of people have already come to you and leaned on you, which
Yes,
is so
they're
great.
wonderful.
And
So,
I'm
yeah, no, thank
so,
you.
yeah, of course. I'm like, I think that this my job and what I do here, and especially the podcast and my whole entire business is all about if I can't answer a question, I'm going to connect you with the person who can, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great what you do. And like, yeah, I've talked to a lot of your clients and it's just like it's been wonderful just like
Yeah.
even knowing them. And I always like for me, I mean, I had someone last week, like she didn't end up purchasing a template, but I
Yeah.
talked to her for like 15 minutes. Like, 'cause I for me, like I can get like time, you know, yes, time is money, but it's also like if I can help somebody, like I'm not worried in the end. Like it all comes back to you. Like I'm all about
Always.
karma, right? So
Absolutely.
yeah, like I know, you know, I'm always here to answer questions and, you know, whatever somebody needs
Yeah.
to move forward and to feel protected.
Yeah, I love that. So I know that we kind of briefly talked about the bundles that you have. So I wanted to kind of shout those out so people kind of know what they can expect or the template packages that you offer. So will you kind of let us know what it is that you offer that's specific to the industry that will really support them?
Yeah, so I have a tax agreement and I have a bookkeeper's agreement. So like I said before, tax is like specifically for like the CPAs out there and then
Yeah.
bookkeepers, you know, for the bookkeepers. So, but each of those agreements have different amendments so you can plug and play. So for example, if as the CPA, if you're doing tax representation, you would just plug in like the amendment tax representation and the main agreement stays the same. You kind of just plug in whatever
Oh,
you're
I
doing.
love that.
It's so yeah, so it's like one agreement for everything. And that's why I think it's like a good value. So they get for that, it's like tax representation. And then that's the only one that's different from the bookkeeper and tax agreement. And then it's tax prep, monthly bookkeeping, and accounting setup. And then there's something else that I can't remember,
Yeah,
but
there's a
yeah.
lot of them. That's why it's good.
So it has like all of that. And then I also offer bundles depending on, you know, what you need. So the bundles would include as well the website policies that we just discussed, NDA that we just discussed, the independent contractor agreement we just discussed. And then for the bookkeeping specifically, there is a referral partnership agreement, which we have discussed of how important that is that if you're referring somebody business and you're getting want to get a referral fee, making sure that's in writing as well.
Yeah, I love that. I forgot that that's one of the ones that you include too,
Yeah.
because it's been a big topic. So I have a group coaching program, which you actually presented in recently, Breakthrough for Bookkeepers and Accountants. And in that program, we were talking about a lot of people were like, I really want to roll out a referral program. We do at my firm. So we roll out a specific one and we have agreements as well to make sure that's protecting us. And I think that's like a hot topic recently is like, how can I make sure that it's like a legit contract that states exactly what they can expect for that referral agreement? So I love
Yeah.
that.
And also, I will say for the referral agreement as well, another piece of it that's important, it's that if you're referring somebody, you don't want to be liable for something that happens if things go bad with that relationship. So there is a piece in there that protects you from that as well.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Because a lot of bookkeepers will partner with CPAs or partners with tax preparers, because like for me, we don't offer taxes. So I think it's now three people that I refer, depending on like the type of client that we have, we refer them out to certain people, and we've got our own referral set up, you know, and it works perfectly, but you have to make sure that you're legally protected. If something does happen, I don't want to be liable. If they decide to file crazy, what I'm going to do is never recommend someone if they file like crazy stuff, you know?
No, exactly. So yeah. So we put that in the bookkeeping. So it's really, the bundle is like, it's a good deal. They have like, you know, all their basics covered. And even if they just wanted to do the actual agreement, I mean, it's still, I think to get them going, I think it's a really solid investment because it has all the little addendums that they would need or amendments that they need to get started with any type of client that they would have.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get you guys in the show notes, any of the links and information, but I believe it's Lindsay Shea, but that's SHAE consulting.com.
Yes.
And I should have spelled out your first name, LINSEY, because there's two ways to spell it.
Yeah, no D. It's tricky.
But we'll put it in the show notes for everybody. Also, she's been so gracious to give to my community a lovely 10% off discount for all of her templates. You can use the code WFQ10. And that's all capital. I'll put that all in the show notes. That way you guys can have it. She's been so gracious to do that, even though I was like, it's okay. Like all the people will love it no matter what. So other than that, where can people connect with you? Where can they find you? Where can they just get into your world?
Yeah. I'm on Instagram at Lindsay Shea Consulting. And then you can always email me Lindsay@LindsayShaeConsulting.com. And like I said, I'm always happy to respond, answer any questions you guys may have, whatever I can do to kind of help anybody out. I'm always here for.
Yeah. I really appreciate you. I feel like I selfishly got so much from this episode myself, and I can only imagine that other listeners are going to love this. And for anybody listening, one, if you want to say thank you, please go over, tag Lindsay Shea Consulting on Instagram and let her know how much you love this episode, and let me know as well, because maybe we'll have you as a returning guest. This is a good episode. I know.
Yeah. And like, we can have like people ask questions, whatever. I'm always here for all that. Yeah.
Yes. I'm here for all of it. Well, thank you so much once again for being on the podcast today. And I can't wait to connect with you in the future. Thanks.
Sounds great. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you for tuning into yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey. And thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.